as part of the resort, if our guest goes on a walk, you will have like 3, 4, 5 farmers or fishermen families who will say, come and have tea. Please come to our place. And those things, I think once you build a community, it's not just guest experience. It's not just community. It's not just you. The overall impact becomes extremely positive.
Hello and welcome to the INSEAD Emerging Markets Podcast, where we interview business leaders and emerging market experts on business innovations, market opportunities, and macro level trends in emerging and frontier market countries. Join us for the next hour to dive deep into the world of emerging markets as we speak with top performers who are successfully investing, working, and living in these markets themselves. Welcome to the INSEAD Emerging Markets Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Lal, and I'm here today with Yeshi Funcho. He's the CEO of Ani Private Resorts. Ani is the world's first private resort collection offering exclusive retreats in the most beautiful and far-flung corners of the earth. Ani Private Resorts draws its name from the Swahili word anjani, which aptly means the journey ahead. This refers not only to the time shared by Ani guests at each resort as part of life's journey, but also to the future offered to students of the nonprofit Ani Art Academy's organization. Inspired by the idea that an arts education could bring opportunities to those without in beautiful developing nations worldwide, the Ani story began in 2010 when both organizations were founded by philanthropist and arts patron Tim Reynolds, who previously founded Jane Street Capital. Ani's destinations include Thailand's Koh Yanoi Island, Sri Lanka's south coast, a private peninsula on the Dominican Republic's north coast, and the northern cliffs of Anguilla Island, with each resort claiming a spectacular natural setting close to its local Ani Art Academy. Our guest today is Yeshi Funcho. Yeshi is the CEO of Ani, has been CEO there since 2016, and he has over 20 years of hospitality experience in some of the top brands in hospitality all across the world, and he's originally from Bhutan. So thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. I'd love to share a little bit more about your own personal journey before we get into the amazing work you're doing there at Ani. Maybe you could just tell me why you initially decided to join Ani and leave the work that you're doing in Singapore, and how you got in touch with Tim Reynolds initially and decided that this is a project that you wanted to take on.
Nick, thank you for having me on the show, and thank you for the brief, beautiful description about Ani. So I'm from Bhutan myself. I started my work with Aman with a project in Bhutan some 20 years ago. With that job, I was exposed to a lot of pre-opening projects with Aman. The last one that I did was in Bodrum, Turkey, called Aman Ruya. From there, I moved to Laos to restructure a colonial hotel for 2.5 years. And then I moved to Singapore to open a 20-bedroom urban villas. When I arrived in Singapore, surprisingly, I didn't really enjoy the city life. I've been working in naturally beautiful locations with Aman, but also with other companies that I've worked with. But when I arrived in Singapore, which I was excited in the beginning, and I've been to Singapore a couple of times, and I realized traveling for leisure and traveling for work or living for work is very, very different. So I started looking for other opportunities because I didn't want to hang on with a company there for longer, knowing that I'm not enjoying the place and it's not fair for them either. And it wasn't fair for me to force myself to work in a place that I did not enjoy. It's not really truly like Singapore is bad. I think it's just a personal choice that I didn't like the city. The location of the villa was actually in Labrador Park, so it was really nice. But living in the city, I mean, it's not very far from the city, and commuting between the cities was not as pleasant as I thought. So one Sunday, I just said to myself, look, this is not working. I need to figure out something else. And I spent my afternoon on the laptop. And the same afternoon, I found Ani Private Resorts website. And they were fairly new themselves, so they were not 100% organized in terms of how to apply a job or where are the email addresses, who's the right person. I managed to get in touch with Ani Private Resort, did the interview. We made our choice, I think, less than 2 weeks after the first interview. As part of my first assignment was to come to Thailand and do a bit of reopening because it was opened, I think it's 4 or 5 months before I arrived. So I had to brush through, go through some details, understand the brand products. From Thailand, I moved to Sri Lanka. And that's where Tim came to meet me as part of his holiday, but also spending some time with me. And he gave me then the direction clearly for the future of Ani and his innovations and desire and inspiration that he has for the company and brand. And he asked me a question, how I would fit in. And it was so interesting because, see, with Aman, it's all about attention to detail. Small, less is more. Guess is the most important part of the business, and you don't let one guest go unhappy or check out unhappy. But I realized working back then in Aman, there was also a number of limitations as to what you can really offer and to define the experience and service is one without limitation. With Ani, when I came in, the first that I felt was, this is amazing. All these different limitations that I've seen through 12 and a half years with Aman, I could make it happen here. Properties are built with high-grade materials, integrated with local communities and local resources, expensive living areas. And then the concept of private resort, right? Renting or booking one guest at a time, that enables a lot of different possibilities. And I thought that was the core of innovation. If you have a resort that you can rent out only for a single guest, what you can provide for that single guest staying in the resort is truly one without limitation, because you don't need to think about other guests. If you look at other hotels and some of the challenges that I've seen is many people have many different preferences, interests, right? And they have different expectations in terms of what they want in their holiday. And trying to then say, we're going to customize for every single guest, put attention to details through, it becomes challenging. But then with Ani, having just a group in-house at one time, it gives us all these possibilities to ensure we can 100% customize their stay. Privacy is 100%. And when we say customization, we go through food, room amenities, daily services, small touches, what are the opportunities for anticipations? And we come up with long lists of anticipation of little touches every single day for every guest. So that I wouldn't be able to do it without my prior experience with other resorts and other brand. And I felt when I arrived, okay, this is my destination and we're going to make it happen. And I told Tim, look, Tim, I have it for life. As long as I can work for you, I will be there, because this makes me excited and this makes me feel like exactly what I want for my future.
Sure. It sounds like it was definitely the right sort of company with the right mission and vision for you at the right time for what you wanted to do, which is really amazing that it worked out that way. You've been talking about how what's different about Ani is that you're focusing on one guest at a time. Basically, it's like a private resort for one person. How does that affect the way that you run the company in terms of how the hotels are built or how training is done? What are the changes that you see in terms of how things are run just based on Ani having this different model?
So our product design is very unique. It's a hybrid between, I think, a villa and a resort. I say hybrid because the resorts are built like any other five-star resorts. There are a few things that we take into consideration, because when you say a group at a time, it could be a multi-gen with grandparents and kids, right? It could be adults only. It could be a corporate retreat. So we're taking into consideration input in terms of design as to how we can best fit those markets. And villa, because it's very private. It's yours. It's your home for the period that you have booked. And that comes with one-to-one guest to staff ratio. And those part of the product design is also how we design in terms of service and our employees to cope up with the service standard that we're looking at. Because we also see, anybody can build a beautiful resort. And then there are beautiful locations everywhere around the world that are not built at the moment. The brands or a wealthy person can go and build. What differentiates us is how we then look into staffing. How do we treat our employees? How do we train them? And what kind of training we provide to them? We do less of what is standard hotel operations. We are breaking that systematic approach of departments like housekeeping, maintenance, front office, because for our guests, it doesn't really matter whether they're a housekeeper or front office. What they want is a service or their request being fulfilled at a very efficient rate. So we try to look into multi-skilling, see how we can cross between different departments, like with the housekeeping, for example, and maintenance. All of these departments, at the end of the day, it's very, very similar. The jobs are different. But when you have everybody else been trained with all these different skills that are required to run different departments or to run a resort, you have a disposable of everybody else who is capable of doing anything, regardless of what department. Now, this takes a lot of commitment, because it then goes back to how you train, how much do you invest for training, what kind of people do you hire? So yeah, coming back to your question, we're quite different. And I think the way we operate is very unique. And it works with us because of our concept and because of what is needed in terms of commitment from everyone who is working as part of the Ami family.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like you're giving each employee a lot more autonomy. Like they're in charge of not just one role, but they have the decision-making ability to do different things and help wherever they're needed. I was wondering, is this something that existed when you first took over in 2016, or is this something that developed over time? How has the approach to training or building out the resorts changed over the time that you've been there?
The concept is there. The start was right, but there was a lot of things to be done when I arrived. And it was very tricky situation, tricky moment there as well, because you're defining who you want to be in the market and you don't want to get that wrong. Your concept can be one thing, but how you apply those concepts in the market becomes extremely sensitive and important. So I spent almost my first year understanding the concept and then understanding what would work and how we would take that concept into the market. Underlying importance, as I mentioned earlier, of course, was how do we keep our staff at the level that we wanted to achieve in terms of service and experience for our guests. So we broke down into a lot of smaller training modules, very specific for a group of three, maybe group of five, group of six, but we went as specific as a module for a single employee, building the whole development plan and a training plan for each of them. It took time because those are skills, but it's also knowledge that you need to acquire. There were many, many different things. So it took almost a year to get everybody up to speed. And today, if you look at, sometimes I get surprised what they are able to create for our guests. But the development is an ongoing plan. One of our core value we have as a part of the company culture is our employees' development and their well-being and happiness. Because part of the concept is that as much as we have so many guests coming over and staying with us and building those beautiful memories, we want to be absolutely sure everyone who is working with the company are building their own beautiful work experience, but also building up memories. Yeah.
I want to get back to that in terms of the memories and the experiences of the staff and the local communities as well. I have one more question about, I guess, the revenue side of the hotel before we get to that. Most of your clients, as I understand it, are ultra high net worth individuals. I was wondering, first of all, do you do any sort of marketing or how do you attract your clients? Where do most of your clients come from? And then secondly, given that these are the sort of clients that you're serving, does that change the way that you train employees at all? Or is there any different approach in how you run this hotel based on those being the clients that are your guests?
So marketing, I mean, we do standard marketing like any companies would do. Does that bring a lot of business? Yes and no. We are very, very unique. Our market is niche, like tiny niche. But it's important. I think our traditional regular marketing happens on a comfortable pace. What is the most important thing that works with us in terms of marketing and in terms of revenue is word of mouth marketing. What we focus is every guest we get, we do everything that is possible to make sure that they have the best experiences in their life, right? To a point that this is the first thing they want to speak to their friends or their colleagues or their business partners, or to a point they want to come back. And it happens quite often where a guest would book their second stay before they depart from their current holiday. We have guests returning back as many as five times in a year. And for us, we are a small company. Ani Thailand has 10 bedrooms. Ani Sri Lanka has 15 bedrooms. And Ani Dominican Republic, 14 bedrooms. And Ani Angola with only 10 bedrooms. And then we sell them or we rent those on a single basis, single key basis. So if you look into the number of calendars and number of resorts we have, we don't need a lot of bookings or leads. And we're quite comfortable at the moment with how it's working and how the business, particularly in the marketing and sales side, is shaping up. And I think our focus on change, which is to make sure everyone who is staying at Ani gets the best experience and there's no limitation as to what we can offer. And we work together with the team to ensure they have the best. So that's the marketing part and then sales and part of our revenue. But you were also mentioning how staff are able to then cope up with those ultra high net worth individuals and how does that training work? And I think this is a very good question because that's the most important assets we have for the brand. We in the company, from Tim himself as owner and me as a CEO, every single person who's working with Ani or working for Ani, we consider them as an important asset. We look into not just the performance side, but also look into every individual's welfare and happiness and development, because we realize when people are happier, not just at work, but at home, if their life is more comfortable, and when they have issues and problems that the company gives a hand to them, you feel your space. You feel this is the right place for you to be. And therefore, I think those things gives you the platform then to train and then to guide them who they can become now and also in future. So when we train, we don't just train just usual standard housekeeping or standard F&B service or stuff like that. When we do train, our training modules are based on who our guests are and differentiating, like multi-gen family, a family from United States, a family from Middle East, a family from China, because those are our markets. And they may be all ultra high net worth individuals, but their expectations as to what they expect from the holiday or their preferences and interests are very different, right? European guests are very, very different from guests from the United States. So our training involves training on the culture side of our market, understanding, say, Middle East, what do they really like? How do they like to be treated? What are the anticipation we can do? Do's, don'ts, you know, like all this kind of thing. But on top of them, then the service culture, right? We also try to accommodate service cultures based on where they come from. So you need to then train all of them on those service cultures. There's a fundamental, there's F&B training or food training or guest relation training. So we break it down into smaller divisions and department and train the basics as hotels will do. But the larger part is putting the steak on the top and then building up our staff. Like if it's the F&B service team, they should be able to do fine dining service, silver dining services, but then also family, being able to create beautiful picnics. So it's an ongoing training because we are also learning a lot from our current guest. I've never seen in my life, or I've never felt or seen myself taking that seriously on guest feedback. I mean, our guest satisfactions are really, really high. But then we would also see when the guest is staying, we could have done better because there were other opportunities. We should have seized those opportunities and create a better experience. Some guests would say like, oh, this is fantastic, but you should probably explore those markets, those areas. And we would note it down and we would make sure every feedback that we have received and everything that we have learned from a group is being implemented before the next group. So that's how we evolve and we transform ourselves and adapt ourselves. And I think as long as we do that, keep a step ahead of what the expectations are from ultra high net or families or individuals coming from different parts of the world, with the size number of resorts we have, I think we'll be pretty busy ourselves.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, sounds like it's very time consuming, but it seems also, I mean, an excellent way to run a hotel, and that you're making highly personalized service, which I know will go a long way these days. I think that's a huge differentiating factor, which you guys have really hit on.
Thanks.
Did COVID change anything in terms of business or how you approach clients, or what was the effect of COVID on Ani?
I mean, like anybody else, we got affected in the beginning for sure. Most of the countries closed down their borders. A lot of people are losing jobs, particularly in the industry that we're working in. And we had in the beginning when the first case, because the first case out from China was in Thailand, and I was based in Thailand at the time. And I remember having a discussion with the team and the colleagues who were working on the other part of the world, because in Caribbean, they thought it's never going to come there. That was at least the expectation in the beginning. But I was discussing what we should do for Thailand and Sri Lanka because it's spreading in Asia first. So again, the differences of working at Ani or Ani as a company or a brand, we decided that this is a moment that matters. We will make sure that everybody has a job, our team. We'll make sure that everybody gets their salary, their allowances, everything that is there in the contract and everything that has been done in the past year in the resort. We will continue doing that regardless of how long it's going to get closed. We expect it probably will take by the middle of April, May 2020. We realize it will be for maybe for a couple of years. And even if it is for a couple of years, we will keep our team intact and we'll take this moment to train them. Because you have no guests, you have fully staffed, they are all paid, they're coming to work. And it was important because depression, mental disease everywhere in the world was not so nice. And we were lucky because the team is smaller as well. So, it is a big commitment, but it's also possible when the company is sizable and the number of employees working is not as many as company like Aman or Four Seasons. So we kept everybody out in. We did a lot of trainings. We did a lot of surveys as to like, what can we do post-COVID in terms of experience, upgrades, development, creations. But at the same time, we did a lot of motivation training, keeping them happy, engaged, so that post-COVID or when the border opens, our team are really 100% to look after the guests. Now, COVID did position. By the middle of COVID, our brand got really popular. The demand was really high. With the two Caribbean properties there in Anguilla and Dominican Republic, we had bookings that we did not see in the past, like really back to back. And I realized at that moment, okay, the landscape of the market is changing because of COVID. The expectation from the market is changing because of COVID, and we should be a step ahead of that and make sure that post-COVID, we are the first one to adapt to the need of the market because everybody wanted privacy, private experiences, end-to-end private solution, like being able to get in a car, in a plane, pick up by us, and then to the resort, and they didn't want to mingle much. And that was what we did in DR and Anguilla for 2021 and half of 2022. Now the market has changed, right? In general, I think the demand for market has changed and the operators are, of course, adapting to it. It was definitely a moment where we got positioned better and that the private resort concept is actually going to work and may probably become one of the most popular model of business for ultra high net worth individuals. And that's when we did a bit of a brand refresh last year, June, to make adapt to more of their needs, both on the branding side, but also on the service and delivery side.
Sure. Makes sense that the Sora business would end up being very in demand post-COVID.
Yeah. But remember, we are in a different industry, but post-COVID, people couldn't find staff, like employees, because when COVID hit, company couldn't keep them because there was no revenue. So a lot of people lost job. And we were the first one. We had everybody else and super trained, excited, looking forward to the opening of the borders. And I think to a lot of our competitors or the resorts and hotels that are in the same locations, for some reason, I think they thought that was the smartest thing we did.
Definitely.
Because we were definitely on top of the game when borders started opening up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in several ways, your company is showing how taking care of employees actually is a great business decision. So I think it's really amazing to hear that not only did you not let go of anyone during COVID, it's been actually a business benefit for you in terms of having staff that's engaged and wanting to work and so on.
It's probably a good investment, right? If you have a brand that you want to make it work and you realize or you know inside you, the main asset is your team, your employees. And I think then it becomes paramount for any kind of a brand to look after them because without them, you couldn't brand it. You couldn't call it, whether it's Aman or Ani or whatever brand it is, right? Because at the end, I think it's people who creates the brand.
Completely agree with you on that. I guess on that topic, now we can get to what you're doing to engage the local communities of the resorts and how those programs came into being. And I know you've mentioned the art program and some other training programs. I'd love to learn more about that.
Certainly. That's an exciting part. So I'm happy to share with you. Our commitment with the local communities, plus the sustainability, is huge. And to a point that I think Tim and I started to feel that it is almost the purpose of business. For us, to be able to see the impact we create in the communities drives us to do business well. And then I think when we feel this, then we try to put that feelings down to every single employee who is working in the company. So they feel the same. And I think if we feel the communities, the staff, the guests and us, if we have this similar exchange of contentment of life and holidays and commitments to the local people and the surrounding people that you live in, I think that there's no better business model than that, right? So when the initial concept was drawn and going through with team back in 2016, there was this design of the product, right? Which includes the resort and how we operate and the employees. And then we had the guest experience. And then we had the community benefit and how we bring the communities and find ways to help the communities. The Ani Art Academies is the most, how would I say that? Because it's launched together with Ani Art Academies, it's launched together with Ani Private Resorts. And during those time, when we are looking into the concept and looking into the locations, it was too difficult to really think what is going to work and what kind of community exercises can we actually undertake. But the fact that arts education is quite universal, it doesn't really have geographies and region as much as many other different things. And my owner, Tim himself, he took the class himself and he felt the progressions that you have as a human when you take an art class was something really special. So he said, wherever we build the resort, we're going to build an art school and it's going to be non-profit art academies. Nobody plays anything else. We'll take after 50 students, intake of 50 students and the course goes between 3 to 4 years, depending on the, you know, like competency of the students. And forget about paying for the education, even the sale of their art pieces, they get 100%. We do help in terms of reaching out to market and sell. And if you manage to sell, the students actually get 100% of whatever the art pieces we sold for whatever price. So that we have four locations in Dominican Republic, in Sri Lanka, Thailand, in Angola. We also have two other Ani Art Academies in the U.S., so this is almost given, like if you do a resort somewhere else, this gets paired in and it's working perfectly well and there's no reason why we should not. Imagine something like that, right? In Sri Lanka, down in the south coast, we're in the middle of the fishermen communities. The lifestyles are quite basic. Job opportunities, they're not much. But if we are able to educate those kids who have dropped out from the schools, not knowing what exactly they have for their life, and if you're able to educate them and give them this skill, I think in 15 years, 20 years, our expectation is to have a smaller art communities in the location we are, because we will see a lot of graduates going out there. They're either going to establish a studio. They will probably work with us because we are also trying to look into the students coming and training them at the resorts when they're free. And if you need more hand, they would come and help us with and we pay them and they make some pocket money, but also they learn something more, right? So our expectation is to see like those communities filled up with more of art themed destinations. And if you have beautiful seas, oceans, beaches, resort, and then beautiful culture. I mean, wherever we are, I mean, particularly Sri Lanka, Thailand, beautiful culture. And then you have art thing in the middle. I think it will be a beautiful community. And then that would probably give a lot of possibilities and opportunities for the younger kids that doesn't have a lot of expectation in their life because of lack of education or lack of skills, therefore lack of opportunities, right? So this is a bigger part that we do in all destination. We last year actually committed to put $2 million also to renovate and build infrastructures for the local schools. So we are building in Thailand, $500,000 worth of learning center that has libraries, exhibition halls, computer labs, helping them find teachers who can teach programming, coding for the younger kids in the community. And that will be the first one because Thailand doesn't have one. We're doing the same thing in other three locations and we realize they don't have any computer related, internet related courses or infrastructures available. They are also limited with resources such as books and the computers to access internet, things like that. So we are also providing those access opportunities so that if there are people who are interested to learn, which I think in Sri Lanka, Thailand, Dominican Republic, I think there are a lot of people who are already applying for those schools just because they know they're going to have those facilities. So we're working on that. We are also very active in the communities because we came in as a newcomer. We're not part of that community. But it's so essential, I think, as part of the brand and part of the company culture that we become part of them. So we understand them better. And when we understand them better, then we can come up with programs and initiatives that can best help them, but also provide a larger or more impactful result. So right now we're working in, if you look at Sri Lanka, we're putting together a list of young students who cannot afford to go to schools. They are also students who cannot pay for the vocational training centers, even if they wanted to go and get some skills. So we are working on this. We have 19 students enrolling, I think, on the 15th of this month in a vocational training center. Some are doing plumbing, some are learning, you know, like mechanics, a number of things like that. We also do all cultural things together. When they have celebration, we are part of the celebration. When there's unfortunate incidents in the village, we are also part of that. We support. So, I mean, we feel great. Every time I go to different location, it's another home because we know each other quite well and we support each other. So you do feel like you're part of the community. And with the staff and the employees, I mean, they work together. And that's how the experience for our guests becomes very, very special. Because, I mean, no company can bring the village as part of the resort. If our guest goes on a walk, you'll have like 3, 4, 5 farmers or fishermen families who will say, come and have tea. Please come to our place. And those things, I think, once you build a community, it's not just guest experience. It's not just community. It's not just you. The overall impact becomes extremely positive.
Yeah. If we look at a lot of tourism across the world, it can kind of end up being a bit exploitative, but I think this is amazing how much you're incorporating the local communities and actually improving their lives, it seems. So it's an awesome vision. I'm really glad that you guys are doing that. What are your plans for the future? Do you have any other locations in mind or any other growth ideas or ideas for how to engage with the community going forward over the next few years?
So the future looks very exciting for us, but we're not going to rush and start making mistakes. We'll take a comfortable pace. We are building our second resort in Angula already, due to open end of 2024, a 15-bedroom private resort. We realize the demand for Angula is for a slightly larger group. So the 10-bedroom that we have currently is a bit small. So we're building another one that is 15-bedroom. We also started a construction just very recently, a 15-bedroom private resort in Texan Kikas. And we earmarked a lot of destinations for the future expansion. But as I said earlier, we cannot afford to dilute what we have built, whether it's a guest experience or whether it's an employee experience, whether it's an ownership experience. I think we'll need to be very, very careful how we expand, where we expand, at what pace. But I see us opening a resort at least one resort every 2 years at a slower pace and maybe a resort every year at a faster pace. But it's not just a resort, right? So when you do a resort, you have to understand the communities. Is that location something that we can make a difference? Is there opportunity to make a difference? Will the art school work? Where should we build the art school? Where the students are going to come in from? Does the sustainability program that we have, does that fit in those locations? So we're really looking into all this different spectrum of importance that we have to expand the brand. But within that bracket, for sure, we'll have a comfortable pace. But I see Ani growing and remaining as one of the most unique brand. And when we speak with our employees, when I speak with my owner, when I speak with my colleagues and down, like even file and rank staff, because it's an inclusive operation, everybody has the responsibilities and of course appreciation and reward for all good things based on the performance. And we try to compensate. It's not just like regular structure, right? I mean, it's based on like, if we are together, if the force is working, of course, whoever is putting the force through are treated well and compensated well. So yeah, if you look at all our staffing, 95% are local. We hire from the local communities, and we don't want to go somewhere else where we cannot find locals and have to import everybody else from outside. Now, there will be destination where our market will say, like, we want to go there. Our guests will say, oh, you guys should have a resort there and there and there. And if there is a repeated request, of course, even if we have to bring people from outside and build a resort, we will. But our priority is to make sure that our business is bringing a positive impact to the communities, whether through employment or through being in the communities and doing community exercises, initiatives and program, or bringing wealthier people there who also then invest in different programs, not necessarily with the resort. We don't involve guests and ourselves, but they would go out and they would find and they would discover and they would say, like, I want to do this, and we would facilitate them to do it. But we keep what we do and what guests does, like, very different.
Sure. Sounds like you have a lot of great things ahead and sticking to the mission of the company, which is great. And I'm sure that's what's gotten you the success that you've had so far and will continue to be there. So thank you so much for joining and sharing so much about the amazing work you're doing. I can't wait to see what else you end up doing.
Thank you, Nick. I'm happy, I mean, that I'm on your show. We don't speak much about what we do, and we try. I mean, I think it's important we speak and get the word out in the market so people see what other people are doing. But at the same time, we are humble company. It's not to prove anybody else that we are doing this and that they should do that. For us, it's what we believe. And when we are able to deliver what we believe, it brings happiness for our guest, for our owner, for everyone who is working for the company. And that is what is the most important. So we speak very less. We don't really do too much of PRs. And over the period of last 6-7 months after we rebrand, I got a lot of people, like magazines and things like that, that do want to, you know, like advertise, do want to do this, do want to put in the magazines. And I try to be very, very careful. I mean, I'm doing this with you because I'm not doing this as part of a marketing campaign or things like that. I think it's a sincere discussion about what we do. And I thought this platform is something that makes me feel comfortable, because otherwise, as a small, humble company, we focus more on, like, what is good for our guests, for our communities, for our staff and ownership. And then as long as we have this synergy between ourselves and see what is happening, it brings us contentment and happiness and drive us further more to see, like, what we can do more to the communities around the around the world, and what kind of experience we can explore and destination we can explore for our guests around the world.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the INSEAD Emerging Markets Podcast. To stay up to date on events we may be hosting, emerging market news, and to build your personal network, please feel free to join the INSEAD Alumni Emerging Markets Interest Group on LinkedIn. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the INSEAD Emerging Markets Podcast. To stay up to date on events we may be hosting, emerging market news, and to build your personal network, please feel free to join the INSEAD Alumni Emerging Markets Interest Group on LinkedIn.